You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson. And we have Shirley, who will be sharing her dream in a few minutes' time. But first of all, we've had an email from one of our listeners, Alice, and she had a question that I've actually been asked quite often, so it's obviously something that people really want to know. And Alice's question was, if you eat food late at night, do you dream more? It is a bit of an old wives' tale. It's kind of the thing we're brought up with, isn't it? That, you know, you don't eat too close to bed because you'll have bad dreams. And this is the truth of the matter. If you eat quite late at night and you eat something that maybe is going to take your body a bit of time to digest, it can make you toss and turn simply because your body's doing extra work and maybe you're a little bit uncomfortable. And if you're going to wake up at all during the night, you usually wake up just after a dream, because you go through 5 cycles of sleep while you're asleep, and some of those are very deep and dreamless, and you're unlikely to wake up during those. And they're really the stages of sleep where your body is going through deep physical healing. And then you come up to a much lighter level, and that's where you do your dreaming. So if you're going to wake up at all, you generally wake up just after a dream when your brain is at its most active. So if you are a bit uncomfortable during the night and you're maybe tossing and turning, you're most likely to wake up just after a dream. And that can give you the feeling that you've actually dreamed more on a night when you've eaten before you went to bed. We all dream exactly the same amount, but maybe you just remember more because you wake up then. But there is another interesting angle to this, and it's this. If you eat something late at night and it's maybe a bit uncomfortable on your digestive system, you maybe got a bit of stomach ache or cramp during the night because your body's gone to sleep and it's shut down the digestion processes, what can happen is that pain in your tummy can come into your dream, because while you're dreaming, you can actually pick up what's going on around you physically in your room or in your body, and your dreaming brain tries to work that into the fabric of your dream. So if, for example, you've got a really painful tummy because you ate something late at night, your dream might bring that in as perhaps a python snake coiling itself around your stomach tighter and tighter and tighter as your dreaming brain tries to make sense of what your body is feeling. And another example might be a mosquito in your room that's buzzing very close to your head. And, you know, it's got that really high pierced screech as it passes by your ear. And if you're dreaming at the time, your dreaming brain is going to try to incorporate that into the fabric of your dream. Now, one person might dream that it's a mosquito. Another person might dream it's a witch screeching in your ear. Another person might dream it's a siren going down the road. So it's really quite interesting that individually we will all incorporate the same sound into our dreams in different ways. And those different ways, of course, can all be interpreted, because it's how our body processes the experiences that we have that is the most telling and meaningful. How we process the outer world, including the mosquito flying past our ear, including the pain in our tummy, tells us about how our unique mind works and how we try to understand the world. And this is really useful and insightful information that we can apply to our lives. So, with all of that to digest or otherwise, we're now going to go and talk to Shirley and find out what she's been dreaming. Hello, Shirley.
Hello, Jane.
And you've contacted us because I think you said you've got a really interesting dream that you'd like to share. What is it?
Yes, it's called Seeking Reality. And I wrote the dream down, so I'll just read it out.
Yes, please.
Okay. I was at a party which was held in a large room of a house. I know there are a lot of people moving and talking around me, but I wasn't aware of any of them. Then I saw a very handsome man, and he came over to me and we started talking. When I was ready to leave, he asked me if he could drive me home, and I agreed. I have no idea what the car was, and when he dropped me off, I walked up some stairs to my place that was a flat, small and comfortable. When he dropped me off, we never exchanged phone numbers, hugged or kissed goodnight. We parted feeling friendly towards each other. At some stage, and I don't know when it was, he introduced me to his 24-year-old son, and we got on very well. He accepted me in his dad's life, and I was comfortable that he had a grown son. A couple of days later, he contacted me and I found myself in a solid, luxurious sports car. That was the father.
Mm.
I was in the passenger seat, which was on the right-hand side, and he was driving. The car was open to the elements, but I had the impression that it had a top that could close over the car electronically. There was thick black leather going around the top rim of the car, also covering the top of the doors, while still allowing them to be opened easily. He asked me about myself, and I told him that I had just left my job and was taking 3 to 6 months off before I looked for more work to do, as I wanted to relax and find myself again. Then he told me he was a multimillionaire, and I had the impression that his money was there to be enjoyed and for him to be able to do what he wanted because of it. He had no airs about him and treated everybody on an equal basis. He was no better or worse than anyone else just because he had a lot of money. He had a hat on and raised his right hand and took the hat off while looking at me. I was shocked because as he raised the hat, his toupee was stuck to it. I know my face showed how I felt, and he just looked at me as if he didn't like what he was seeing on my face. All I could think was, where was the handsome man I met? This was not the man I thought I liked. I felt betrayed by him because he didn't show me the first time we met that he was bald on top. He hid his true identity. As I saw his expression mirroring mine, I kept on thinking, what was it that attracted me to him? Then it came to me that he had huge round eyes that I fell in love with. They seemed to sing to my heart. Then the fact that he was bald on top didn't matter to me, but the damage was done. We didn't see each other for 2 days, and when we met again, we both had the same thoughts about what happened. Seeing the person who I imagined was my dream man allowed us to meet up and then to see and feel the true person's soul, as that was what I truly wanted. The image in front of me at the beginning was an opening to what was real, and I just needed to be shocked into opening my eyes and then my heart. I awoke feeling warm inside throughout my body, and the feeling stayed in me all day and into the night. During the day after the dream, the words from a song kept on repeating themselves, I love you because you're you. And that was it.
What a wonderful and powerful dream, and beautifully told too. That's
Thank you.
And I love the way that in the dream itself presented as a story. You know, it's like, and then 2 days later this happened, and it even had like a lot of the moral of the story built into the dream at the end.
Yeah.
I just a couple of questions. One, you said in the dream that you told the man that you were leaving work for 3 to 6 months and then going to look for another job. Was that part of the dream, or is that actually happening to you?
Well, that's interesting because that's actually what's happening, and it's going to happen within the next couple of weeks. I was made excess, and I really struggled with whether or not I could afford to do it. But for a long time, I felt that it was time to go, and I felt like the universe was pushing me along. Mm. And because I kept on hesitating, and I was afraid of making the decision, I became excess. The decision became excess, and I was offered a package, and I finally decided that, yes, this is the right thing to do for my mental well-being.
Right.
And ever since then, I felt lighter, and then the dream came after I'd made the decision.
Right, okay, now that's good. So that part of the dream is something that's actually happening. And the other main question, there will be more as we go through, but you met the man's 24-year-old son, and often a number in a dream is pretty precise, and it can be a 24-year-old son, and a dream can be something that's been in your life for 24 years. So can you think what was happening for you 24 years ago? What entered your life 24 years ago? So we're talking about, we're recording this in 2009, so we're talking about 70, Michael's just doing a quick calculation while he's producing the show here, 1974, is that correct? 1985. Isn't it? Whenever I'm doing dream interpretation, the logical part of my brain completely and absolutely drops out. I cannot calculate anything. 24 years ago was 1985. What was happening for you then?
I was 32 then. I'm 56 now. Oh, yes. So I would have been 32. Mum died.
Ah.
Uh, roughly, yeah, just before that mum, just after that mum died, I think she's been dead 26 years ago, I was in Sydney and I'd had a serious accident on my leg and they thought I was going to lose my leg, and it was over 12 months before it was actually healed.
So you'd lost your mum and you had a serious accident to your leg and it looked like you might lose your leg, but you kept it. So during that time when you were literally off your feet, what else changed in your life then?
Not a great deal, really. Mm. There's nothing much that I can think. It's just that I was in a lot of pain and I kept on pushing myself and going to work when I felt that something was wrong, and the first specialist just ignored it, first doctor, and I went to the specialist because I was already due to have an operation, and he discovered that my leg, he could put his finger through half of it.
Mm-hmm.
It had ulcerated so bad, and he had me instantly in hospital because the depth of the ulcer had gone half, it was halfway through my leg and just eating it. And I've got a good leg now. But I mean, even at 24, I left my husband.
Mm.
But that was, I was the age.
You were the age 24. It would be much more likely to be because it was an unknown male in the dream. A male in the dream often represents the world out there as opposed to the world within. So the world out there is often the world of work and how we relate to people. So, you know, before we even interpret the dream, what you've told me there is that 24 years ago, you had a serious accident to your leg and you tried to go back to work too soon and it wasn't ready. And in fact, that caused more damage to the leg, it ulcerated it. So, you know, right there, it's like there's the contrast between being off your feet, unable to work, and no, I've got to go back. I've got to go back to work. I've got to go back. I've got to keep on going. I've got to keep on going. So my feeling is, although we're going and interpret the dream now, is that the 24-year-old son in the dream is some aspect of yourself that for 24 years has really tried to push things at work or keep yourself going when it's maybe not been entirely what you wanted to do, but questions around that. But we'll go into the full dream and see how it all fits. What was really interesting listening to your dream and is that the first half of the dream, there was a lot of I don't know. So you were in a room with a lot of people that you didn't see the people, but you knew they were there. And and you left with a man. There was something there that I can't quite remember. You didn't know or see, but you were there. And when you said goodbye to him at the door, you didn't know when you would see him again, but you said goodbye. There were several instances of, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not really looking. And then the second half of the dream, there was so much information. You know, you were noticing the leather around the doors and all the fine detail, and you were really noticing everything. So there was a real shift in the dream from what I don't know, what I'm kind of aware of, like I'm kind of aware that there's people in the room, but I haven't really noticed them properly. So the first half of the dream is there's an awareness coming in here. I kind of know what's happening, but I can't quite put my finger on it. I don't know it properly. And then as the dream goes on, you become more and more acutely aware until at the very end of the dream, you've not only got something from the dream in the dream, but you come to a recognition by staring into his eyes. I mean, you can't get much more closely than knowing somebody than looking right into their eyes. So there's this process through the dream of going from a state of unawareness or minor awareness to deep knowing. So it's a very good dream, you know, from that perspective. And you've also got the feeling in the dream, of course, there's all the open top stuff. You've got the open top car, the convertible car, and you've even, I loved it, you've even got the open top man with a hat. You know, he took his hat off.
I never thought
that. his hat off is like the convertible coming off the car. But of course, you know, it bought the extra lid off as well. It bought off his toupee as well. You didn't like that. So there's a sense of being more open and opening up and looking inside. And as of course, at the end of the dream, the question was, how deeply do you want to look? Because do you only want to open up the top and see the lovely, handsome man? Or do you really want to acknowledge what you might not want to know and see his baldness underneath? And then, of course, by the end of the dream, you've embraced the baldness and you're okay with that because it is his authentic self. So there's a feeling in the dream of, I've got to look inside. I've got to open things up. I do want to do this. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm adaptable. I'm convertible. I'm going with this. I want to, you know, I'm ready to show the world who I am, but maybe not quite that much, maybe not the toupee as well, and the feeling of betrayal that was uncovered there. So when he took off his hat and the toupee came off as well, you had a feeling of betrayal in the dream.
Yes, I did.
You felt betrayed that he hadn't revealed his authentic self up until then.
Mm. And it was very strong.
Yeah, a very strong feeling of betrayal. Mm. Now, whoever is in the dream, all the characters in the dream do represent something about yourself. So even though I'm doing this dream out of the timeline, I haven't started at the beginning of the story, I've jumped in the middle. If you have a very strong emotion in a dream, and that's why I've jumped in at this bit, that strong emotion is something that you are finally touching and feeling and uncovering in the dream. So what you had at that point in the dream, Shirley, was a feeling of, I'm ready in my life now to be more open with myself, with other people, to show the world the wonderful person I am. But in doing this, I'm actually finding out that I, Shirley, have somehow betrayed. I feel like I'm betraying myself in doing this. I feel like I should be showing the world the wonderful person I am with my toupee on, kind of thing, you know, the best side of me. I didn't really mean show the world the real authentic side of me, like, you know, bald warts and all or whatever. And so that's a sense of betrayal there. Is it most probably you felt that for the past 24 years, you've been showing the world a Shirley that you feel is open and this is me and this is who I am. But now after 24 years, you're going, no, actually, it was like wearing a toupee. I was putting on an extra image. And I wasn't quite who I... Yeah. How are we going so far?
Actually, very well, because there was two things. One is that for a long time I've wanted to shave my head, and that was just sort of to take away, because I've got nice curly hair when it's cut properly, and I felt that that's part of how I'm identified by people when they look at me.
Ah.
And I've wanted to shave my head, and I'm still seriously thinking about it. So as for a short time, whatever people see, once they get past the shock of seeing no hair, they will actually be seeing and hearing me.
Ah.
And not, you know, the cover sort of.
Yes.
Which really fits in with that toupee bit.
Oh, yes.
It really does. And there was another one, Body and Soul. I was listening to it this morning on the radio. You know, I didn't even know the show was on. And I changed the station and Body and Soul came on and there was a song on there and it kept, and I'd never heard the song before, and it kept on saying, you are in the driver's seat. And I thought, wow, I was on the passenger side in the car. And this man who somehow I felt was me, even then, like you're saying, Jane, he was driving on the left-hand side. I'm left-handed, but I found myself on the opposite of what I normally would, in control, sort of.
Yes.
And suddenly it was like, ah, when we mirrored each other and we understood what was going on at the end of the dream, suddenly it all fell into place when I heard that song, and I felt like, oh, thank you, universe. I love these answers that come to
it. It's amazing, yes, because a lot of the symbols that come up in our dreams can then repeat while we're awake. And that is what we often call synchronicity or serendipity. And if you go through that experience where you are noticing maybe several things in a day or in a run of days which really jump out at you and seem to be deeply meaningful, but you can't put your finger on what that meaning is, that synchronicity. And often that is when you've forgotten the original dream, but they are the continuation of the symbol from your dream playing out in your waking life. So in your case, you remembered the dream and you also had it ready to talk to me this morning while you were listening to the radio while you were getting ready. So it came in, and that is interesting, isn't it? Because you've got, I mean, there'll be a lot of people listening in who are thinking, yeah, so the steering wheel is on the left-hand side of the car. So, except they'll be saying that in an American accent. Hello, America. Shirley and I are both in Australia, where, of course, the driver's seat is on the right-hand side of the car and the passenger seat is on the left. So that's why this is quite a significant thing in this dream. And you've got that lovely feeling of, you know, you said in the dream there was kind of a mirroring going on, and it's really putting the two halves together. When you can be in the driving seat of your life, as well as a driving seat in the car. Mm. And you can, to some extent, also be the passenger. Then, you know, then maybe you've really got your act together.
I think, because also another thing, Jane, is I'm left-handed.
Mm.
And I've had a lot of struggles by being left-handed, because I'm 56. And when I was at school, I used to get canings for not using my right hand. And there was a lot of things. So for me also, being in the right-hand side is the opposite of what I've always been.
Yes.
And because I'm leaving work and everything else, and the fact that we could both together sort of come to, or, you know, my higher self or whatever, was able to see what was going on with me, that I was actually able to switch back to the left-hand side as if I'm finally getting... I'm empowering myself is what I feel.
And it's okay.
You know? And like you were in the driver's seat, like now I can decide what I'm doing with my life and I don't need to be concerned about everybody else running it for me.
That's right. And you can be left-handed if you want to be, because left-handed is authentic for you. Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And what, how did you find, particularly say 24 years ago when you hurt your leg, how did you find that? How did you deal with your left-handedness at work? Was there an issue there?
Well, actually, yeah, where I worked at the time was a factory, and I was told by the four ladies that we never hire left-handed people because they can't do the work. So it was sort of like, here we go, another test again.
Yeah.
And it was like, I have to prove that left-handers can do as well, if not better than right-handers, because there's a lot of discrimination against them then. And I did. I actually could do work the machines faster than some of the right-handers, and they were amazed. And after that, they started hiring left-handers as well. But they actually used to discriminate against the left-handers.
This is absolutely fantastic. So, you know what we've uncovered at this stage of the dream is that that 24-year-old man in the dream represented the part of yourself that originally felt discriminated by being left, was definitely discriminated against at work by being left-handed, and that has had to work extra hard to make up for that. You know, just as we said at the beginning of the dream too, at that time, that you tried to get back to work even though your legs weren't ready for it, felt you had to work extra hard for it. And so even though you actually helped to initiate a breakthrough in that industry 24 years ago, because they then realized that left-handed people were very efficient and then started to employ left-handed people, at an unconscious level, that stayed with you all this time until this dream. And the sense of betrayal in the dream, you know, when you felt betrayed by the man and then had to, and then came round to accepting his and your authenticity, is that feeling that for whatever reason now, you're recognizing that you have felt betrayed by that left-handedness and what it meant to you in your life, having to work harder than everyone else, having to make up for it.
Yes, absolutely. I never sort of thought about it like that, but yeah, it has, because it's like I'm in the body. I'm here to learn and to grow from it. And I believe a lot in forgiveness and loving is two of the most essential things.
Mm.
And it was learning to love myself too.
Yeah.
But until then, for so long, there's been a part of me that's hated myself, because why am I here to learn when I chose that? But it's so hard. It's such a struggle. And even though my higher part of myself understood that this is what I chose, it was like, I just want out of here. And I've struggled with life so many times.
Yeah.
And now I've only just started to open up and feel alive and feel like, well, maybe... You know, I can just simply enjoy life.
That is so wonderful. But and it's wonderful that you've come to all these insights, Shirley, and that your dream is really, really endorsing that. Because as you say, you know, you've come to this point now where you feel you can really open up. And that's what the car is doing, is opening up. It's convertible. And it's what the hat was doing. And, you know, and we've just discussed the betrayal and everything, and coming right down to the accepting the true authentic, self. And I love the way in the dream that you said that he was a millionaire. But he was the same as everybody else. So, you know, that also suggests that, you know, there's a part of you that, and a millionaire in a dream is maybe somebody that's got a lot of, obviously money, but it's sort of self-worth, you know, as well. And so in the dream, it's like, we're all worthy. We're all worthy, whether we've got a lot of money or not. This is about self-worth. You know, he in the dream is the millionaire part of Shirley. He's the part of you that is wealthy, in all the best senses of life, you know, wealthy in love, wealthy in, as you said, forgiveness, wealthy in talent, wealthy in all the areas that we often forget to mention because we equate wealthy with loads of money. And in the dream, you sort of really open up and embrace that. And when at the end of the dream, you really look into his eyes, that is a very powerful moment. And I know there'll be a lot of people listening to this podcast and thinking, I've had that dream where I've looked into the eyes of a soulmate or looked into the eyes of an animal and really felt magnetically drawn and really felt, you know, deep, deep love. And we'll be wanting to know what that means. And it's when you come, dreams often play on words as well, you know, so I, E-Y-E, can also be I, capital I, myself. And when you look into somebody's eyes, of course, you're looking in, you know, the eyes are the windows of the soul, you're looking deeply in. So when you lock eyes in a dream, what you're actually doing is locking eyes with a very deep part of yourself. It's a very deep knowing, and because it's such a magnetic and loving feeling, it's the point in your dream where you really come into contact with an aspect of yourself that you are suddenly ready to go, yes, yes, yeah, I've got it, that's me, I love this part of myself.
Oh, yes, because, you know, Jane, I've had dreams and it's always that seem to slowly come together to this dream, and one was called Dream Lover, and I virtually couldn't see him, but somehow I felt comfortable with him. He was non-threatening to me. Mm-hmm. And then nearly a year to the day, I had another dream, and it was a Dream Lover, but we never ever made love in that sense. It's like I was slowly integrating myself.
Yes.
With what I wasn't understanding or what I was afraid of, that I didn't have any value for myself and all, because it always felt taken away from me by having to do things for everybody. And I was missing what it really was. And this time I finally actually could look into his eyes and get that mirror coming back to me, the image of what I was mirroring. It was like I've connected with myself in the dream, like you're saying.
It's so wonderful. And what's lovely is that you seem to have the sense while you're in the dream of what the dream means, you know, and you are actually in the dream thinking, this is a part of myself, I'm connecting with this, which is a awesome gift to have, because a lot of people wake up from what I call the soulmate's dream, you know, they wake up, I met the man of or the woman of my dreams, you know, and many people have gone for years literally looking for someone that looks physically like they did in the dream, and they never find them because they don't realize that this is about making a connection with a part of yourself. And once you've made that connection with yourself, and that is your authentic self, then hey, you're most likely to turn around and meet your actual soulmate, because you're a better and more whole person because of it.
Yes, because a lot of people, and I did it for years, was looking outside of myself, trying to find myself, not really realizing that, like, and it was my sister Gloria who actually started showing me how dreams start working for me, how I can connect with myself and what I'm about by understanding that the people are a part of who I am in the dreams. Mm. And seeing it in a way that was non-threatening, or I didn't have to feel guilty or anything, it was a way of going deep within myself and discovering who I truly am. So instead of looking outside like people do with money and buying things all the time to make themselves happy, what it was, I needed to heal myself within and connect with myself. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and Gloria's taught you very well, because that is, if there's one thing, you know, and I'm talking to everyone listening here too, if there's one thing that you can take on board about dream interpretation and take with you, it is exactly that. And yet, many people struggle because they find it so difficult to understand intellectually and emotionally. But, you know, you expressed it beautifully. So all I'm going to do is repeat it, probably nowhere near as well as you just did. Everyone in a dream represents something about you. And even if they appear to be bad in the dream, it represents something that you think is bad, that you really need to just acknowledge about yourself, whether or not it is bad, it's just a case of judgment. And whether it's something really good, it's also something that you need to acknowledge about yourself. So the moment that you can do that twist and think everybody and everything in a dream, every animal, every aspect of a dream represents something about me, you can then do the magic of integrating all those things into your being. Instead of feeling that you're fragmented and there's a bit of you like this and a bit of you like that and there's conflict here and I don't quite relate to that bit or I can't quite see that bit, your work in interpreting the dream is to bring all those pieces together and go, okay, all right, all of these bits are me. And then once you get to that point, accept that, then you can make changes. You can go, okay, I accept that there's a part of me that is jealous, for example. Let's pick that. I'm not talking about you or me, Sheila, but this is an example. There's a part of me that's jealous. I've brought it on board. I've integrated it. Now I don't want that bit anymore. So I'm going to transform it and change it and not be jealous. But you have to, first of all, integrate it and go, yeah, yeah, okay. All right, everybody, it's me, before you can then change it. And that is the essence of dream work. And it's wonderful that you've got that. So, yeah, I mean, we could go. There are so many other areas of your dream, Shirley. And if we were doing a one-on-one consultation, we'd spend an hour going into this. But I hope in just this half an hour that you've, although you'd worked out a lot of it yourself, that you've got a little bit extra insight from having discussed it with me on the podcast.
I certainly have. I never thought about the pervertible and the betrayal part so clearly before. You know, it's sort of like I hadn't really given it. I'd given it a bit of thought, but I hadn't actually understood it the way you explained it. And all I can say, Jane, is to me, dreams have created an opening for me to be able to find my true self without feeling guilty about anything.
That's an absolutely beautiful summary. Thank you for that. So go ahead in your beautiful life now, finishing up at work and looking for the next thing and progress in your wonderful, authentic and left-handed way. And thank you so much for being on today's show.
Thank you very much, Jane.
Just one little thing before leaving. I mean, we went into some talk there about the soulmate dream, and it reminds me there is a little PowerPoint slideshow that you can look at on my website, which is all about the soulmate dream. And it's about, I did the words to it. Michael did the images to it. We put it together and you can go and have a look, and it tells you what the soulmate dream is and what to do about it. So, you can download it at the site. You can just enjoy it yourself, or you can save it and send it to a few friends as an email attachment. Here's where you go. You go to my website, which is www.dream.net.au, and then if you click members, it will take you to the place and you'll see that slideshow. We don't actually have a members area of the website anymore. We used to. This website's been going for 11 years, and we used to have a members only area where you had to pay to get in and use all sorts of resources, where you don't have to pay anymore. And we've distributed all those free resources throughout the website, but still in that members area, there are a few little extra freebie goodies, and one of them is the Soulmate PowerPoint. So I hope that you can go in and have a look at that. And of course, while you're there, if you want to consult me privately, all the details are at www.dream.net.au. So thanks everyone for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. And for joining us today, I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and I'll see you next week for our 21st episode of The Dream Show.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.